call the meeting to order. We can have a roll call.
Supervisor Quinn.
Here.
Supervisor McPherson.
Here.
Councilmember Matthews.
Here.
Councilmember Johnson.
Here.
Alternate for Jim Reed. Councilmember Termini.
Here.
Councilmember Terrazas.
Here.
Citizen Campbell.
Here.
Citizen Dexter.
Here.
Citizen Mosier.
Thank you. He's absent. With notice, we have quorum. Next item on the agenda is the approval of the agenda for this evening, January 12th. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Okay, motion by Supervisor McPherson, second by Councilmember Matthews. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Passes unanimously. Next item on the agenda is the report out on closed session from both December 8th, 2014 and January 12th, 2015. There are no reportable actions to close out from those sessions, so we can move on to the next item, which is oral communications. Is there any member of the public that would like to speak on any item not included on tonight's agenda? Seeing none, we'll bring it back and go to item number five. Teresa, staff recognition.
This is sir.
I had an oral communication.
Oh.
Is that in order?
Yes. Sure.
Okay. I'd like to ask the chair to place an item on the agenda for the February meeting concerning the provision of legal services by the system.
Okay.
Need I elaborate?
You provide that information. Sure. If you could maybe send an email to Director Landers and myself in terms of the background that you're looking at, we could take it from there.
Okay.
Thank you. Okay, moving on to the next item. We have the staff recognition. Teresa.
This is actually 2 months' worth since we last packet didn't get this thoroughly reviewed. I think the only person here is Ms. Helga. Oh, Victor's here. Sorry, Victor.
Oh, hi.
Victor's here. He was part of the, which one was the last? Oh, yeah, Victor and Arturo, the bilingual class. Thank you. And Helga did a special project for me that was greatly appreciated, and it was not fun, let me tell you. She did it really fast. So, really, really great group of recognition for these 2 months' worth. So. Thank you. On behalf of everyone who's not here, Victor, thank you.
Yeah, I'd like to give some staff recognition too. I was up at UCSC on Saturday, and Hannah Pitts, she was a judge at the UCSC Ethics Bowl along with me. I thought it was nice. She was a part of the, she told me when we were up there, she was part of the ethics debate team, and so she still is involved at UCSC. It was really nice to see her up there.
She's the assistant to the volunteer coordinator.
Yeah.
Doing great.
Okay. The next item on the agenda is the Friends of the Santa Cruz Public Libraries report.
Hi, thank you. I'm here to get a report. I'll try to keep it down about a half an hour. November, we raised $5,000 in our Solstice Gala. The Solstice Gala is a non-event. We send out invitations and you stay home. We also raised $1,400 for a holiday book sale in this room. It was great. Moving forward, we started our budget process. We're applying for a grant at United Way, and we're working with Janice on that. Thank you, Janice. We're going to be holding the fundraiser at Discretion Brewery on February 9th, so please come down, and
February,
I think it's 20% of every one of your beers goes to us. And then exciting new news, we've been selected as a partner for the Derby Girls on their April 18th bout. So get in line and get tickets. Nice. Any questions? Thank you.
Thank you very much. Okay, if there's no other questions, we'll move on to the next item, which is the consent agenda. And normally, this is all taken in one.
Member reports.
I missed it. What went right through there. Member reports. Did we have a subcommittee meeting for the finance subcommittee meeting?
February.
No. Okay. No member reports. Okay, we'll move on to consent agenda. Normally, we take these all in one motion unless a board member would like to pull one of the items for discussion.
A question? Same thing? Or?
Yeah.
Chair? Yes, I'd like to pull the...
Or you could just, if you have a question, you could just
I do have a question for Finance Director Pimentel. I had a question on the November financial snapshot. It appeared that the janitorial expenditures were significantly under budget. I'm wondering if that was perhaps just a missed accrual or something placed inadvertently in building facility.
I recall seeing we were tracking at about 12% of the year, and we're close to 50%
sure.
of the way through.
One possible explanation is that included include in the janitorial budget are a number of special cleanings, like, you know, windows and carpets, and those don't always happen. Sometimes those happen.
Which we haven't done yet.
Yeah, we actually just did some, but they wouldn't be reflected
sure.
in here. So
okay.
I don't know for sure, but that's one possible reason
yeah.
that the janitorial.
We can look into that, just find the trend on that.
Great. I had a second question on the one-time donations in August and September of $28,000 total. Are those bequests or?
I'd have to defer anymore.
It varies. The things that come into the Friends. We got something big. I don't remember. That's also very unpredictable. That's just.
Hooray
for
them,
whoever
it is.
Yes,
right? Hasn't been
yeah.
a big
yeah.
request, but there was something. I mean, I'd have to track it. I can do that.
Okay.
The recent one was AT&T refund.
That could be.
I believe that was listed separately
yeah.
as
yeah.
12.
That was outside of those.
Okay, thank you. That's all.
Thank you. Okay, seeing no other questions, is there any member of the public that would like to speak to any item that's on our consent agenda? Seeing none, we'll bring it back. Is there a motion?
I'll move consent.
Okay, motion by Councilmember Matthews, second by Supervisor Friend. All those in favor?
Aye.
Passes unanimously. Okay, now we'll move to the staff reports. Teresa.
This is an abbreviated one. Marcus was able to get in the draft of the audit, and we just have the kind of the top pages, but it's not final yet. So we haven't done the full analysis of 13-14. I was concerned that you might look at it and see that we spend more than we took in, and just wanted to remind everybody that that was intentional. This accounts for part of it. We'll have a full report at the February meeting. So it's just really just to, since we did have the preliminary audit materials, we thought we'd share it with you.
At a high level, the adopted budget plan expected to spend another $100,000 on top of what you actually spent. So, one perspective, you spent $100,000 less than anticipated. That's a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a planned overage.
Oh, sorry.
I had a couple of questions. Couple of questions on that. One was the large interest variance in the expenditures. I'm wondering if that was perhaps the buyout of a lease or something. Or
yes, we had both. Yes. The city's lease, and then subsequent.
I knew there was something else we bought.
Yeah.
I couldn't remember.
Okay. And is that also the source of funds for the capital lease proceeds?
That was later on in the year when we purchased the copiers. But yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Back to English now.
Would you also, just maybe I'll point this out, anytime there's questions in advance, if you wanted to ask Teresa or others too, those are good ways. We've done that. We haven't had the sub-finance community. But sometimes a lot of those questions are kind of we help do it. But is there in terms of the reporting, you're the next one you'll have available just for the next board meeting at the update? Okay.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Any other questions? This was just
motion to accept the information. Next one's the conflict of interest policy that I was asked to develop. So I basically looked at the cities and the city of Santa Cruz and the county. We technically don't need a conflict of interest policy because we follow state law. So it's pretty much, but both the city and the county have one. So I went ahead and we put it together based on what those entities use and been approved by the city attorney's office. And so here it is.
Great. Are there any questions regarding that conflict of interest policy that's outlined? Any member of the public that would like to speak to this item? Okay. I mean, I'm familiar with this. We have a similar one in the city. And if there's anyone who would like to make a motion.
I'm happy to move the policy as it's presented.
Second. Okay. Motion by Councilmember Matthews, second by Board Member Campbell. All those in favor?
Aye.
Passes unanimously. Okay, now we're on to the next item.
Okay, so at the last board meeting, you asked me to come back with, you gave me direction to talk with Chair Terrazas on the issue of the governance and to bring back a report on the status of the maintenance of effort discussions and also what else was needed in order to kind of put everything to bed in preparation to looking to do an election in June or November of 16. The thought was we wanted to try to get all these issues resolved as early as possible, perhaps by summer, so that we then have a full 6 months to focus on the public education and
in preparation for doing a poll in January to determine whether to go to for an election in June or November. So that's what this report does. So there's three pieces to it, and perhaps we want to take them just one at a time.
Please.
The first one is the governance and the revision of the operating agreement, which expires in June 2017. You assigned the resolution of this for revisions to this agreement to the library administrators about a year and a half ago. They met continuously, did not come to agreement, and then the board decided to not deal with this issue until after the election. And then when the election got postponed, you said, let's deal with it. So you expressed some sentiments at the last meeting, which I conveyed to Chair Terrasas, who was unable to attend, and basically thought that we should not search for a new library director until the governance of the system is decided. I do now have the official retirement date of May 29th, so that gives you a time frame to know when I'm leaving. So having a revised agreement of June would be the ideal, but even if the implementation date is later, so that you can go out and do the search for the new director. Chair Terrasas came up with the process to address the discussion of the governance issue and has recommended that there be a board committee established with one board member from each of the cities and the city of Santa Cruz to work over the next few months to look at the options that have been proposed, look at what other possible options might be out there, and to hire a consultant to assist with somebody experienced in library operations and governance to help facilitate that discussion and bring options back, an option or options, depending on what's decided, back to the board in April. I did talk with Jane Light, who's the retired director for San Jose. She is consulting. This is definitely the kind of thing that she does and is very willing to do it for not to exceed 7,500 plus mileage. And I did attach a letter of what she would do. So it's now up to you what you kind of want to do.
Thank you. Any comments? Okay, Supervisor Friend.
I just have a question, which is I'm not uncomfortable necessarily with hiring a consultant. I think it's not a significant amount of money. But I do have a question about what was presented by the county as far as a claim that there was a general agreement among the managers already on this sort of structure that had been discussed at the Policy Board Management Board Library Commission. Is that an accurate statement that the cities have reached a sort of a broad consensus, although maybe the details aren't necessarily finalized?
I would say that it is not a true correct statement, that there's some broad conceptual consensus on a direction to go in, but the idea of a three-board system was not what was the original option that this group was strongly considering, and
say this group, I suppose.
The administrators.
Okay.
The administrators was recommending. Another proposal was put forward with a very different structure with the three different boards, and I do not believe the group came to consensus on that. No meeting I was at was there consensus on how to proceed, and the devil is in the details on a lot of this. So
at the meeting that was held just the other day, I guess it was last Thursday.
Not at that meeting.
Okay. The way it was relayed, and I had my staff check in with some of the other jurisdictions, was that there was general consensus over these elements. However, at least the city of Santa Cruz's interest was to still engage with a consultant to continue to sort of explore things. I'm not opposed to the idea of that, but if we've sort of funneled down toward a consensus, I would like to kind of provide direction then for the consultant where to go. What I don't want is additional process for process's sake, and I know that we've got a timeline here of no later than April, but I think it should actually be March. I don't see any reason why at this point we should go any longer with your...
It's a matter of getting people together, but yeah.
It doesn't matter. I mean, they have to do it, right? I mean, that's just the deal. I mean, we can schedule enough meetings in 2 months that if there's been some sense of a consensus, that's my opinion with you leaving, especially at the end of May. I just needed to know whether the Policy Board, Management Board, Library Commission, whatever their sort of iteration would be. It struck me that at that Thursday meeting that was the case. But I wasn't at the meeting either, and so I'm hearing this from,
okay,
from others.
Councilmember Matthews.
I feel emphatically that the direction for this rests with this board. It does not rest with the administrators whether or not they reached agreement. That has not been conveyed to us.
I understand. We did actually ask them to come back, though. That was
yes.
what the direction of this board was,
yes.
was to abdicate that responsibility. So you, I mean, you can emphatically believe that, but I mean, that's what we told them to do, and so I thought that they came back with this sort of framework.
My understanding of that meeting, the purpose of that meeting was to discuss the MOE issues. Martine Bernal was not at the meeting.
I know, but he had a designee there.
He had a designee there who was not, is not as experienced in the discussions on this and was not in a position to agree to anything and to establish consensus, and that individual did not convey to me that he was in consensus with what was discussed at that meeting.
Okay. All right. It's unbelievable, you know, this whole stuff is like unbelievable. But so are we confident then that we can hire a consultant that can bring in and apparently come up with these recommendations by no later than March?
We can shoot for March. I'm gone the first week of March, which is going to make, you know, things difficult in terms of agenda preparation and finalizing things. We could hold a special meeting at some point if we need to, if we can get it done sooner. I mean, we can shoot for March. I'm not sure I can promise. We need the committee assigned. Jane Light can meet with us the week of the 26th of January, and then the committee would know better when it could.
The committee can be assigned tonight is based
yes.
on this recommendation.
Yes.
So I would like to see that if we move forward with this, that March is just, it isn't a hope, it's an expectation of this board, because it's just, you're leaving at the end of May.
Yeah.
This
okay.
thing is carried on too long. And if there really was some sense of consensus, then this shouldn't actually take any longer than that.
Yeah. Thank you. Board Member Campbell?
Can I ask county staff to speak to the item, particularly the three board split, whether they're, from county staff's perspective, there was consensus at this last meeting?
Sure. So I was there with Susan Mariello and Jamie Goldstein, Steve Vanda, Scott Collins, Max Pimentel was also in attendance, and we discussed changes to the governance structure and what knew that we wanted to move this forward. So we had addressed a three-board structure, and while Martine was not in attendance, as Teresa noted, there was a sense among the rest of the administrators that they were supportive of these three boards. The details in terms of how many positions would be allocated to each jurisdiction was something that needs to be worked out, but in terms of having three boards, those who were there were all very supportive.
Okay. First of all, Councilmember Termini?
No, I got this.
Okay.
I received the same information from our city manager, namely that consensus was reached and this three-board method looked good, and that the MOE was a sticking point, but Martine wasn't there, so they couldn't really delve into it. And I'm certain that, you know, Jane Light is an excellent consultant. Without power of the thumbscrew, I don't think she's going to be able to make anything happen any faster than what we're making happen right now. I think we're very close. I think the subcommittee is the direction to take. It's a small amount of money, either here or there. I just don't see the benefit.
Councilmember Johnson.
Thank you, Chair. So, you know, I guess I'm hearing that there's consensus among administrators, but doesn't the final decision rest with each individual council? So they can, you know, it's kind of like advise and consent of the Senate. You can go and make all sorts of treaties and whatever, but it ultimately has to come back to the voting people the voting members who represent the people of their communities. Is that a fair statement? Okay. So there can be all sorts of discussions, whatever you want to call it, and consensus about this or that. But, you know, to be very honest with you, you know, our city manager is good at a great many things. I don't know if negotiating, you know, inter-agency agreements is one of them. So, you know, so Jim Reed is Jim Reed knows a lot about what's going on here, but the average council person, unless you've been involved in this, doesn't. So, with all due respect to the managers who got together, and Susan Murillo and her statement here, or her memo, it's interesting, but consensus is not something that I think you can really attach a label to this process, because there's been no consensus, because there hasn't been ultimate voting on this process or what this configuration is going to be. Am I jumping ahead here, or am I inviting trouble, or what?
Well, I think there's been a lot of discussion. There's been a lot of movement where we have been pushing this forward. I think we're kind of getting to the point where we're trying to finalize that structure. But I mean, one of the things I just wanted to comment was that when we get a memo from Susan Mariello, who's one voice of that group, it does create the sense that there's a lack of consensus. We just have one person speaking on behalf of it, and I would much rather prefer, if we are going to have communications like this to the board, that that group that's meeting together, these administrators, put something jointly together so that they can at least have, that they're communicating to the board directly, so that at least we know what they're speaking from, and they are our paid administrators on behalf of all of our group, that they can at least speak to these items in a way that's going to provide us a little bit more direction than just one person's opinion.
Well, if I can speak to that then, Councilmember Tarasas, then maybe the person that works for you, you should communicate better with, because I didn't seem to have that struggle with my staff, and neither did Councilmember Termini. We reached out when we heard this to see whether that was true, and in fact, I had my staff actually reach out to the city to learn whether this information was true from the city manager's office. And the information that we had received back was that there was consensus, but that they still wanted additional process. So my point is that's your responsibility. If they work for you, then you can bring that forward in that regard. I think what's actually before us, though, is whether or not we hire this consultant. The point that I was arguing was whether or not we had consensus till we could provide direction. If we're going to do a consultant, yes or no, that we provide direction down of what they should really focus on.
Addressing the consultant.
That's my objection.
Addressing the consultant, first of all, we're just hearing tonight. Some of us don't have any channels coming from other places. We're just hearing tonight that, you know, the managers met and came up with something. We've got conflicting information coming from different places. It would be nice, I agree with Councilmember Terrazas, that it would be nice if we, especially if there's eventually going to be a management board, if this group could actually come together and prepare one memo that would come to us, and presumably that would have been coming next month, I presume. But in any case, back to the consultant, though.
I wasn't invited.
But back to the consultant, though, it seems to me that, as I understand what she's saying here, in her proposal for her work, is that she would, presumably she's got background in governance issues in California libraries with addressing multiple jurisdictions, right?
Yes.
So personally, this, I mean, I respect the work, and I know it's been months and months and months that the management team has been working on this. This seems a little cumbersome to me to have these three boards, and it would be very interesting to me to hear from, we've got some consulting experience in how joint operations are working among jurisdictions to operate libraries. Is this a feasible working model that would work and help us in recruiting a new director? That's it.
Thank you. So any other discussion?
Yeah, I don't know if a consultant could do what we have been able to do in 6 months. And when they do, that's not really hit on her expertise, but I don't know. I could go, if we want to go up with the consultant, and I would just I would prefer to get to table this until we get a report from the administrators. This is what I'd like to do, and get them to say one thing together. But they haven't been able to do that for how many months? that's my preference. But if we think we can bring this thing to a head, we'd better, because we can't go anywhere for a new librarian until we get the governance issue for this. So that's for sure.
Councilmember Matthews and Board Member Campbell.
I do like the idea of working with a consultant who's experienced with library governance issues for what we agree is a modest amount of money to review this. I know we did early on discuss this three-part thing, and it didn't really seem optimal to anybody. Maybe it's true that there was consensus. Maybe it's not. But in any event, even if it's, if we can get some direction on a system that's better, let's take a little bit of time and do that. And the whole communication issue is strange, frankly. So, you know, again, one letter representing the opinion of the group, not shared by the others, and certainly not even with the public members. So I am in favor of working with the consultant on a fast track to get a read directly from the various administrators. Was this their understanding or not? At what level? I'd like to have her review it, communicate with our committee, and give some feedback. I do think it's important that early on, we are the ones that say, yes, this is the framework we want to pursue. Right now, that's our job.
I do agree with the chair that it would be nice to see a unified communication. I mean, it doesn't seem to me there'd be any problem with any of the other city administrators sending a memo to the board. And so, you know, I noticed that the county has been the one that has sent memos to the board. Who knows why? I would hope that a consultant would get us more ideas. I feel like the ideas for the governance were fairly exhaustively discussed. You know, I have to go back to Supervisor's friend point that we did ultimately say, figure it out.
Yeah.
We can't figure it out, figure it out. And so this is a proposal. I guess the managers or people who were there or not there disagree on how much of a consensus we have. I wonder what a consultant would do to move the ball down the field that hasn't already been attempted to be done for however long we've been trying to do this.
Thank you. Councilmember Johnson.
Well, I think, to Supervisor McPherson's point, you know, we are kind of under the gun in terms of expediting this. I think it's kind of disingenuous to quibble about $7,500 when you're talking about, you know, years and years and millions and millions and millions of dollars and how they're configured and so forth. So I know that you have to take public testimony, but what I would do, I would move that we authorize Director Landers to engage a consultant familiar with this process and what we're trying to do, and do the hiring not to exceed the amounts discussed in the staff report.
I'm happy to second the motion.
As a point of clarification, are you moving all the recommended actions or just that one?
No.
There's multiple actions as recommended by the chair of the finance
committee. I'm at a disadvantage because I got the call late and I don't really have an agenda.
It's a good start.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Maybe there could be some friendly.
I'm sorry.
This is a motion for the consultant only at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And it would be worthwhile to take it to its completion.
Okay,
yeah.
Let's do that.
I'd be glad to make a motion on the rest.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So there is a motion on the floor from Councilmember Johnson and a second by Councilmember Matthews. Is there any further discussion?
Can I offer a friendly amendment to have this work completed in March?
Totally.
Yeah.
It currently says April in the motion.
I will accept that. Okay. Is there any member of the public that would like to speak to this item? No? See, now we'll bring it back and put it to a vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Passes unanimously.
I'd like to make a motion that we establish a board committee, one board member from Scotts Valley, Capitola, and the city of Santa Cruz in the county, to meet for 3 to 6 months to finalize governance options.
Second.
Motion by Councilmember Termini, second by Councilmember Matthews. We'll say, is there any member of the public that would like to speak to this?
Out.
Would that be a Brown Act?
Yes.
No, would not have to be.
No,
it would have to be. It would adhere to Brown Act requirements. Yeah, guidelines.
So it would not have to
be.
It would be limited duration and on a specific subject without a quorum of the board.
So open it to public?
No. Would not have to be open.
No, but would it be?
I would highly recommend that it not be.
But actions would come to the board for action.
Yep.
But I don't like the dialogue. If there are any members of the public that would like to speak to this item? Okay, seeing none, we'll put it to a vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
Passes unanimously.
Okay. So, as a point of clarification on the last motion, I think that should be specified in the record what the intention of the board is on that committee. The reason is because the recommended action is vague to say in compliance with Brown Act guidelines, when specifically there's something later on in recommended actions that says that it will not be Brown Act compliant. So I think that if the intention of the board is to make it of all those elements that means it's non-Brown Act, then we should specify that so that's clear in the records.
Let's bring it back then, just so that I'd rather, you know,
to reconsider.
Let's reconsider that motion that we just voted on, just to clarify that if it wasn't.
Can I be clarified?
Yes.
It will not be open to the public. It will not contain a quorum of the board.
Limited duration.
And it is of limited duration. It will have a sunset. Therefore, it will not comply with the Brown Act.
It does comply
with the Brown Act.
It still complies with the Brown Act.
It complies at open meeting.
It doesn't. Well, it's not a Brown Act meeting.
Right.
No.
Right. It's in compliance with the Brown Act, but it's not a Brown Act meeting.
Yes.
And may I just also add that if there's any staff from any of the jurisdictions that want to attend, then.
Is there any further discussion on this? Is it clear to board members? Okay. Is there a second? Councilmember Matthews, are you seconding that?
Yes.
Okay, let's re-vote on it because I want to just bring it back.
It's being reconsidered for clarity.
It just says here, as part of the language that Randy put forward, this committee will be in compliance with Brown Act guidelines. That means it has less than a quorum and is limited duration. And
no, it's clear.
But it's still compliant with Brown Act guidelines.
Okay. Motion by Councilmember Termini, second by Councilmember Matthews. It's just to put this to a vote again. All those in favor?
Aye.
Thank you for that clarification. Okay. We'll move on to the next item, please, the revisions.
Okay, this is just a report on revisions to the maintenance of effort formula. You would ask for an update on the progress made by the 5 jurisdictional administrators, and I actually would refer to Marcus if you have any questions about this. I have not been involved with the MOE. I pulled out of discussions of the MOE issues. They really don't concern me. That's why I was not in attendance at Thursday's meeting, because that was my understanding that was the subject of the meeting, was the MOE. So. But any MOE questions, Marcus? This is just a description. You asked for a description, and I don't know if there's any direction you want to give.
I did have a question. Go ahead. Let me just ask this, because, I mean, it is a kind of a unique kind of way of calculating the contributions to the library system, and I was curious if there's other examples. You know, we see these too, but, I mean, are there other, you know, systems or are there even kind of districts that collect money in ways that, you know, you can look at as an alternate model, but there might be a third way that looks at how we fund these types of services.
Well, they looked at Sonoma.
Yeah.
That's the formula that the city supported Nicole actually.
I have to go back and look, but a lot of the other JJs have designated funding streams, whether from property taxes or sales taxes. Not many have contributions like we have, although there are some augmentations that some JJs, you know, allow for where you can buy additional services above and beyond. So our situation is kind of unique.
What about, I mean, just if we can just continue the discussion, I know that there's joint systems like in San Jose, there's the county that matches with the university, I think. I mean,
There's only six JPA library jurisdictions in the state. One of those involves
Belvedere involves schools and the library, and it's kind of separate. So it's really only five of us, so after us, there's four. And Santa Clara County is one of them, and they've got the buy-up procedure. They've all got different formulas. Sacramento is totally bizarre and unintelligible. Then you've got San Mateo and Sonoma, and I'm pretty sure Sonoma does the straight tax assessment method. You know, same rate kind of thing or whatever for, and they just redid theirs last year, I believe. And I don't remember San Mateo's offer.
All right, thank you.
I have a question. You know, the staff report seemed to have a conflicting message, and that is the city would like to go with a contribution model that matches the contribution model of Scotts Valley, Capitola, and the County of Santa Cruz. The county states that what's being used now is per capita basis. Exactly what is the method? Because I thought it was being paid per capita already. So what is true? Is it the city's contention that it's a percentage, or is it the county's contention that we're all paying per capita?
Ultimately, there's a tax rate that's assessed by the assessor's office for the three other jurisdictions, the county and the cities of Scotts Valley and Capitola. That is a rate that is built into the model. The county auditor controller's office manages those assessments. They would be probably more appropriate to explain the methodology about how they arrived at it, but it's based on a pre-COP 13 rate that was set in place. Santa Cruz joined the system after the fact and contributed general fund direct dollars versus the other agencies whose contribution is coming indirectly through the general fund, but through a tax that's being paid on the property tax roll by their residents.
So it's not a per capita basis?
No, correct.
Is it a percentage?
Now, whether the, go back in time and that tax model was developed, I don't know that.
I understand. It's just that two sections of the staff report address two different ways that the county is assessing this to the cities itself, as opposed to Santa Cruz. I want to know what's really happening, and you're telling me that it is a percentage of the roll.
Yes.
Got it.
Clear and sweet.
Which seems to be what the city would like to do as well.
I think that's fair.
In short.
Yeah. I don't want to pretend to speak on behalf of the
city. I just want to get a better understanding because I'm getting the impression that it's speaking two different ways here and it's not the case. Which is why Watsonville is being adjusted to a percentage rather than a per capita in its portion of the LFA. Is that a true statement?
Partially true. I think the difference, they're not a member of the JPA. So, NetCom, for example, has member agencies and contract agencies. So the member agencies are all treated in the same manner, and if you're a contract agency, you have a different methodology.
Sure.
So, in Watsonville's case, there were per capita adjustments that were made to arrive at a reduced possible level that would all have to be approved by the board.
But in the course of the next 20 years, I see Watsonville's apportionment going down.
Yes.
Why is that?
It's going down to reflect a more per capita model of what their appropriate allocation would be on a per capita basis comparatively. Trying to explain a very.
See, I thought Watsonville was always on a per capita basis.
So
the total fund distribution is based on population. Once the money gets in there, correct me if I'm wrong, once the money's in there, it's dispersed back out based on population of Santa Cruz system versus Watsonville.
That's the sales tax part of it.
The
not
whole
the maintenance
thing.
Of effort.
The whole thing goes together and then gets, so the property tax part and the maintenance effort gets in with the sales tax and then the whole thing is allocated back.
I guess I'm asking, you answered the first question. My second question is, if Watsonville has been paying per capita all these years and we're adjusting them because
they haven't.
We have been paying them on a per
capita basis. Let me explain the Watsonville model. So they pay into the system by Santa Cruz. They have a predetermined flat amount of a maintenance and effort that comes in every year. There's a comparison done of how much revenue flows into Watsonville on a per capita basis versus the maintenance of effort that they contribute in.
Right.
And there's a perceived inequity, a subsidy by the system to the city of Watsonville based on a per capita assessment.
Because the per capita exceeds the maintenance of effort on the rolls.
Correct. They're not a non-member agency. part of.
And that's being corrected by this and seems to be accepted, like, don't want to use the word consensus because it's taken.
Yeah, well, I don't, certainly don't want to speak on behalf of Watson, but it's been presented that they're in agreement with this concept.
Okay, thank you. Board Member Cal.
In terms of dollars into the system, what is the difference between the city's position of how the city should calculate its payment and the county's position of how the city should calculate its payment?
See, that's a much harder answer to answer. The range of, and I don't want to say the county's position, it's the library fund, if you want to put the library fund collection together.
Fair enough.
The city's capital of Scotts Valley, and the county haven't arrived at a model that says, you know, if you're looking at property tax, Santa Cruz should be 80% per capita or 90% per capita. They've played around with ranges of where it should be. So there's not been a model that we can say are singly, this is the model, this would be the difference.
There's no ballpark even?
I'd say the difference.
It would seem to me if somebody has an alternative model, then there is a ballpark, right? If they're creating an alternative model, then there's...
Except they haven't defined the alternative model, so there's a lot of flexibility in how the model would be implemented. In the scenarios that were looked at, it could range from a $20,000 increase upwards to $150,000 increase on the range. And there's
annually?
Annually. The city is in favor of a range that's based on property assessed values and triggering that immediately so that the payments go up immediately.
Okay. And would that, I may just be missing this, but would that be indexed to inflation unlike the current Santa Cruz contribution?
Yes.
Okay.
I think the simplest from the city's point of view would be to adopt a property tax basis that mirrors exactly what's happening everywhere else, and that by its nature increases with inflation.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Any other discussion? I just want to ask, you know, on this, because it's, you know, the jurisdictions are we're having this discussion kind of like what we just heard of the governance model, and it's kind of, we're discussing something that needs to take place in each of the cities. Was there any talk about having, like, maybe an endorsed approach that comes from the city and each of the other jurisdictions? Because I know the county's advocating one way of handling this, but maybe if each of the jurisdictions have, you know, are looking at this and they want to independently come up with that solution, and then bring that back where you've got the full vote of each of the councils of the cities, and that's taken to the group. Would that help to kind of make the discussions move forward a little bit more swiftly?
I would say no comment on that, but yeah. The cities and county have agreed to bring on Dick Wilson and Pat Bush, for example, to try to come together as independent neutral parties and look at the difference. I mean, I would say candidly, the models aren't really materially far apart.
Right.
It's just a different conceptual way of looking at it.
Yeah.
They're not going to be a little likely in a material financial difference to the library fund. It's just a conceptual model of how to look at it. So,
right.
I think there's a lot of optimism that both Dick and Pat can bridge those gaps. But that's maybe more of an opinion versus a representation.
To Randy's point, you know, this is all fine that we discussed this and we all gain an understanding of it. At the end of the day, all of the jurisdictions will have to sign on to it.
Mm-hmm.
So I say we accept the report.
Yeah.
Okay.
Is there any just chance for you to say what you want to say? You want the information?
I know more now than I did before.
The last piece that kind of needs to be decided to move forward is the amendment to the facilities financing joint powers agreement. And it's really just the first issue that's the big one, and after that the others are well, going from the bottom up, furniture, shelving, and signage standards, those will be done by February. Minimum deliverables are subject to what the allocations are and are easily already been developed and can be adjusted based on the allocations. And the distribution of unspent project funds from these allocations is just a discussion that I'm sure won't be that difficult to arrive at. So the issue is the allocation of the funds by jurisdiction. We, based on the polling information, it's unlikely that more than $49 per, the $63 million net is probably the best we're going to do. And so the decision has to be made. Is that still the number you want to go with, and how will it get allocated, knowing that it will buy less than it's going to buy, you know, a year later. But still, how do you want to go about deciding on those allocations, because no one's been able to decide up till now, and it's kind of like time to decide.
Okay, Councilmember Turney. Don't we have enough to chew on? This is the hot potato of this whole issue. I think dealing with all the governance needs to happen. Because this one, I wouldn't touch the 10-foot pole right now.
Can't put it off too long.
I'm willing to put it off for a while.
Our next poll is in January.
Do you need to have it?
No, we can't wait that long.
No, we have
no, but our next poll is in January, so we have to have something.
Put it off till we hopefully get something on governance by March, but boy, we have to get moving on this. And the other thing, at a chamber meeting recently, we started talking about all the revenue measures that are going to be coming forward in 2016. RTC is working on something. Fred is working on an open space. The schools have parcel tax measures coming up. And then there's us. I mean, it's a lot in June, November, whatever. But
This stops, consistently stops all discussion. This is, to use a phrase, the cat in the bundle of pigeons. You know, this stops. And nothing, no rationality extends from this. I think we need to get something under our belt, decided, and then attack this. Just a thought.
Any further discussion?
Well, I don't disagree, but sooner rather than later.
Oh, yeah, certainly.
But I think the basis of it is we better not go over $49.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to be thinking that's the decision. We're going to have to make that decision under that limit, or at that limit.
So is there anything you want me to be doing or administrators to be doing on this, or do you just want to table it until the governance? I mean, I just need direction on what you want to see happen.
Because I was sensing that this would be tabled not too long, but until the governance structure, till March. Is that what it is?
Till the governance structure is settled.
Yeah.
If not settled, start it up in
so
March.
So bring back maybe table us until the March
together,
until the March board meeting, bring it back then.
Okay.
Is that what it is?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Let's start.
Okay.
Okay, so we'll take the formal action just by consensus. We'll post table that until the March board meeting. Is there any further items on that?
That's it. I'm sorry.
It's okay. Is there any other discussion? We'll move on to the next item regarding written communications. And generally, these items are all the general. Or did you have other business?
I just, as part of that, just late breaking. We're bringing ILL back.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Soft opening next week, I believe.
Wonderful.
We'll get some, once we get it under our belt, we'll do some more publicity, but this is hot off the press. It is coming back.
And generally, the written communications are just there for reference, so unless you have questions, they're standard in the packets. So are there any board member questions on the written materials? No? Okay, we'll move on to the board meeting calendar.
Several issues on the calendar. One, originally the meeting was moved to June 8th,
yeah,
because the election was June 2nd. The day, you know, after June 1st would have been the first Monday. I just need to know whether you want to keep it at June 8th or do you want to move it back to its regular date of June 1st. LFA is put out June 8th because we didn't know what to say, so I mean, you want to leave it June 8th. Doesn't matter to me, I won't be here.
June 8th?
Oh, nice.
I think I'm going to be out of town on a family vacation June 1st. So
keep it at June 8th?
So leave it at June 8th? That's fine.
It's on paper.
It's already been approved at June 8th, so
yeah.
I just wanted to give the option, okay?
Board Member Dexter?
I also wanted to, because I got a little confused, I just wanted to remind board members that the March meeting will be March 9th. I confirmed this with Teresa.
Yes.
Since that now looks like it's going to be a pretty important, well, all meetings are going to be important from now on, but
unfortunately, that would be at a conference that only library directors can
Right, choose. So it's the second Monday in March as well as June.
Yeah. And, you know, we must just move to the second Monday because September 7th, I don't know what calendar I looked at, but it's Labor Day.
Okay.
So that will need to be September 14th. And the last one, the individual who we're anticipating will be the interim library director will be out of town on the 5th. So I'm recommending that you move to the 12th, 14th, or 15th. None of you have council meetings on the 14th or 15th. That's Wednesday and Thursday. Santa Cruz has one on the 13th. The 14th and 15th.
It's the 12th. The
12th is a Monday.
Is that a holiday?
It's Columbus Day and it is staff day. And we could still have the board meeting. But if possible, the 14th or 15th, which would be a Wednesday or a Thursday, that week would be better. But
I mean, we could always change it. We could put it down. Here closer, we can change it. Yeah, change it, so.
What do you want to set it at?
15th? Thursday the 15th? Okay. All right, and just one, there was a question that came up regarding the security incident log, so let me just go back to it real quick.
Page 74. Last item, downtown. There is no reason for stating the race of the person involved in the incident.
That was the allegation of the complainer.
Patron, African American male, reported that someone had attempted to steal his bike. Irrelevant information.
You're right. I'm not sure. It might have been excerpted from a larger report for some. I mean, it is excerpted from a larger report, but you're correct. It should not have been stated.
Thank you.
Okay, so we're going to skip down, and the next meeting's on Monday, February 2nd at 6:30 p.m. here. And if there's no other questions, the meeting's adjourned.
Thank you.